Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Pastor.
I love the fact that we can have the classes and that we can. This gets a little more personal than doing this and teaching this in the auditorium. This is my preference.
Amen.
Just so it's all about me today.
All right.
So you all know that. Kidding. I'm kidding. Last week, what we covered was, first of all, we covered the first week was the will of God to heal, that it's always, always, always God's will to heal. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning.
Praise God. Always God's will to heal. And there's never any doubt. There can be no doubt in this, okay?
Amen.
Ever. And that's everybody. Yes. Born again, not born again. Hindu, Muslim, atheist. Surprising, isn't it? Because it takes all of the guesswork out of God's love for the world and all of the provision of the cross for every human being when you go to pray for somebody. It is always God's will to heal them, whether they believe or not that Jesus is the resurrected Lord and only Savior. Right? The provision is there. You have to know this. Okay? You've got to be assured of this in your heart. So when you go to pray for somebody, you'll see the miracles, you'll see the healings, you'll see the signs and wonders. If you know that it is always God's will to heal. No matter who you're praying for. Now, they still have to receive. And if they're not, and this is what I find so much easier, only when somebody is clouded or camouflaged in their minds with some type of religion, tradition, works mentality, I'm speaking about Christians, those who call themselves disciples of Jesus Christ, those who are followers of Jesus, those who are, I mean, really living in the, I got to earn it, I got to make it happen, it's all on me mentality. You see, nobody else has that. If you're not a believer who's steeped in religion, you're really not going to have that kind of thinking. You're going to be desperate to realize what God has already given. So you can pray for people and see miracles outside of Christianity. Then you can introduce them to the healer. Okay? That's a part of living or ministering to people under this understanding of knowing the will of God to always heal. Number two, last week was about speech therapy, and I'm just giving a quick rundown. Who practices speech therapy to their body?
I do.
Good. You understand what I mean by speech therapy? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. Those who love it shall eat its fruit. You can have what you say if you believe it in your heart and don't doubt. Mark 11:22-24, if your faith is in God, you're releasing power, you are telling your body what to do. You are giving instructions to your body, and it, if you believe it, must cooperate. Has to. Now, it takes a little while sometimes to get this in our hearts so we can receive. Right? Because it doesn't happen instantly. Our hearts are so filled with all kinds of issues and questions a lot of times that make us doubt. They make us doubt, really, the sincerity of what God says in His Word. Really, understandably, we are, or this is what we understand, is God is just not sincere about what He says. Now, we would never say that, right? But that is a part of what we believe in our hearts. Does He really mean what He says? Did He really do what He said He did? Was He sincere? And that's what we're questioning. That's why doubt and unbelief so many times have such an anchor in our hearts, and we have such a hard time realizing and receiving what Jesus has already done. Man, the healing's already done. Why aren't we living in it? This is divine health. Because ultimately, and I'm not saying that this is any of you, but just typically, people, when I've taught this years and years and years, typically, we just don't believe God is sincere. You understand what I mean by sincere, right? What do I mean?
Loving Father.
Pardon?
Loving Father.
Loving Father. What else?
Doing what he said he would do.
Doing what he said he would do.
Compassionate.
Faithful. Now, Hilda, I know you have an answer here.
He always does what he says.
Okay. And he sincerely means it. There's no going back on this. Okay? So when we speak to our bodies according to his word and that he has given to us, our bodies, because we believe it in our hearts, they must step up to the plate. They must realize, they must produce, if you will, the healing that has been given. They must. Right? Okay, so speech therapy. Some of you have been practicing, some of you haven't. Some of you were here last week, some of you weren't. Some of you are out of Johnny's class, some of you are not. But let me explain this. Speech therapy is a necessary part. A necessary part. This is a tool that the Lord has given us to begin to get our bodies into the position of health, to be able to live in healing. Sometimes it happens really quickly when we speak to our bodies and tell our bodies, our organs, our skin, our cells, our, what else?
Blood pressure.
Blood pressure. What else? Lungs. What?
Bones.
Cholesterol. Nothing. This is unlimited. But it's important for us to speak to our bodies. This is a given for us. Okay? And if you believe in your heart, now sometimes we speak so that our ears can hear what we're saying, right? And it drops into our heart. And then all of a sudden, one day, something we believe. And things change. You know, I've given you, numerous things in my body. My eyesight, my blood pressure, my issue with my neck. It just goes on and on and on. Debilitating, sometimes life-threatening things in me. Now, I believe that what God said, what he gave to me is true. That he was sincere. I believe that. And so I practice this, and I have for years. I want to encourage you to read Charles Capp's book. It's just a little pamphlet. If you don't have it, get it. Charles Capp's book on God's creative power to heal. It's faith-based, speaking the word, and expecting results. All right? So we're going to dovetail into today. I'm only on for 4 weeks, and so I'm trying to cover a lot of ground here in the understanding of healing as far as what I'm doing. We're going to dovetail into from speech therapy to our bodies into understanding and applying your authority. Okay? Understanding and applying your authority. How in the world do you make this work? How do you know you even have it?
Because
the Word says so. Where?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Well, it isn't in every scripture, but it's all over the place. All right? It is important, and I can't stress this enough, it is important, all of you who are students of the Word and students of living in healing, living in divine health, realizing your healings, receiving your healings, it is important for you that you have some anchors in the Word, that you have some scriptures that belong to you. Okay? They're yours. You don't let them go. Okay? They're alive to you. They're real. I mean, you can hold them in your hand and go, "This, I believe this." You don't have to know the whole thing, but it's important for you to get anchored and grounded in the Word, because that's where the truth is. That's what drops into our hearts. That's the seed that goes in. That's what changes the reality of our situations in our health. Okay? So, today is knowing and applying your authority. Now, I want to encourage you, in this area of healing, there's two books that I want to encourage you to get. I should say three, on top of Charles Capps. One is Christ the Healer. That is a, you know, and I've said this before, this is a college course in healing. This was written by F.F. Bosworth back in the 40s, 30s and 40s. Now, when I say a college course in healing, grace is in there. But please understand, they're going to take you through the instructional aspect of receiving. But some of the examples are 80 years old. But everything still applies. It's very good. The next one is The Believer's Authority by Andrew Womack. Now, I cut my teeth, so to speak, on understanding authority in desperate times of my health. When I got introduced to Andrew Womack through Rosie way back when, I got introduced to Grace, and Andrew taught The Believer's Authority. And I must have, this is back when we're on tapes, I must have listened to the tapes till I wore them out. I still have a copy of the CDs, and periodically I listen to them. But I grew in my understanding of the authority of the believer through what Andrew taught in that message or series of messages. But that, I didn't stay there. That made me leapfrog into the Word and start to study out where else my authority is, because it isn't just in the series. It's way beyond that, and as Christy said, it's throughout the Word. So you have to know your authority and understand it, that it is yours, that it belongs to you. You can use it or lose it. I mean, so to speak. Use it or forget about it. You can live passively with any kind of sickness and disease, injury in your life, or you can take the authority that you know you have and speak to your bodies as you understand. The same way, dovetailing in with speech therapy in authority, and you can see changes now because you know your authority. And let me say this too, that the greater you understand, the greater you know your authority in Jesus, the greater you get it, the more you're going to see, and the faster you're going to see changes in your body. The more you wield this authority that you have, the greater degree of the change in your health you're going to see. Okay? Now, amen. I said another book too. There were four books. Charles Capps, Christ the Healer, The Believer's Authority by Andrew, and you've already got it. You have to understand that you've already, this is basic stuff. You've already got your healing. It's already yours. Stop struggling trying to get what is yours. Okay? But the believer's authority, but that's a leapfrog into the rest of the Word that says, I got authority greater and farther than I ever knew. Okay? Go to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to start here. Matthew chapter 8. Anybody got have any questions so far? Because I know I'm just laying the groundwork. Matthew chapter 8. Are we there?
Yes.
Okay. Now, my whole purpose in teaching a class is that you get it. This is my purpose. That you understand it. That you just not don't just hear it. That you don't just scribble some notes. Although, it's good to take notes. But that you get it and you use it. That's my whole purpose in this. Right? Get it and use it. Because the Word is meant to change our lives. Right? God gave us His Word so our lives could be changed. We can be transformed by the renewing of our mind, our understanding. So that's my whole purpose in a class. So when I ask you questions, I want you to think. I don't want you to give me just rote answers. I want you to think. And there is no wrong answer. This is a part of what helps everybody learn how from each other, kind of where we're at. It should trigger things in our minds and our understandings, right?
Amen.
Okay. Matthew chapter 8, I'm going to start in verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home. He's paralyzed and dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." That's pretty bold, isn't it? You know you can have the same boldness? Whoa! Why? Because you have authority. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, he was amazed, blown away. And he said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Ouch. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down in the kingdom," he's speaking about the Gentiles, "with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way. This is an authority. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you." His servant was healed that same hour. Here's my point, just one point in this particular scripture, set of scriptures today, is the centurion, as a Roman army officer, who's been in the service? Who's been in the military? Keep your hands up. Anybody else? Okay. Who's been a supervisor at work? Okay. Good. Who's been a mom or a dad? Okay. All right. You have a degree of understanding about authority because you have wielded authority in your roles, in your positions. You have an understanding of what authority is. Now, Jesus wielded authority because he knew he had it. Right? Amen. So what is authority? When you describe authority, you've all experienced it to some degree. What is authority? Don't let this be some mystical term, but what is it to you? Anybody? Think about this. Carol.
Dominion and power. Dominion and power.
Dominion and power. Good. Dave?
Confident instructions.
Confident instructions. Okay. What else? What's authority to you? Todd?
Power and control.
Power and control. Good.
Just the ability to carry out a command or an action because you know you have the backing of a higher person.
Good. Mm-hmm. Doris.
The right and the power to do.
The right and the power to do. You all been reading the Greek, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Let me read the Greek to you, what the Greek definition is of authority, particularly in this matter, in this scripture. It is the power of authority and the right to exercise it. The power of authority and the right to exercise it. Authority comes with power, right? Comes with power. And then it comes with the right to exercise that power. Wow. There's some responsibility there, isn't there? There's some acknowledging that you have it, and there's some responsibility that we have to wield it. It's knowing and understanding what we have and wielding it. It is also, and you need to hear this and get this in your heart, it is the power of one whose will and commands must be obeyed. Whoa. It is the power of one whose will and commands must be obeyed. Must be. There's no question here. in this kind of authority, now we're speaking about authority over sicknesses and diseases and injuries, and I hear stuff all the time. You know, we still get calls from people all over, Rosie and I do. How they find our home phone, I haven't got a clue, but they do. And most of the time, a little dose of authority over a sickness, a disease, or an injury yields the results that they've been looking for. Now, why us? Why don't they just do it? Because they don't understand the authority they've been given as a believer in Jesus Christ, faith in Him, what He did, what He accomplished, who He is in them. They don't understand that. And they don't know how to apply it. And they don't have anything to stand on, usually, word-wise. There's nothing holding them up, no foundation built. Been a lot of focus on what's been going on in their bodies. And I understand this. But when it comes down to pursuing your healings, whatever they are, they're yours. You have to understand it's God's will. You can speak to your body. You can see results. You can believe Him because He is sincere. You can and must speak in authority. When Jesus, Mark 11, spoke to the fig tree, and He spoke to it, it died immediately. It didn't show up until the next day, which was miraculous as it was. But when He spoke to the fig tree, He did it in authority. Let me read the last definition again of what authority is. The power of one whose will and commands, command comes out of your speech, must be obeyed. Right? Okay. So when I've spoken to people's bodies and seen miraculous, unusual, creative miracles regularly. I have a whole list of stuff. You know, actually, when you just do this as a normal part of Christianity, you begin to lose track because you see God move so much. But I'm not, and please understand, had nothing to do with me. On my own, I've got nothing. I don't have squat. But I know what He gave me, and I know who He is in me, and I've learned by the Word and by my actions, by experience, gaining wisdom and knowledge, how to apply it. That is it. When I pray for people, when I exercise authority and give a command or speak to an area of somebody's body, I expect their body to change. I'm really more amazed if it doesn't change immediately. Okay? We don't always do that when we're exercising authority. What do you think the holdups are? Why is it that when we exercise, now most of you have been a part of grace teaching, and particularly in this church for a while. So why do you think that you don't see as many changes, miraculous healings, releases from sickness or disease or injury as you feel like you should be? Jesus said to the centurion, "I'm going to come and heal your servant." What an attitude, huh? He knew his authority, knew where it came from, knew what he had, what he carried, knew who he was, knew it was no big deal. Why do you think it's so hard for us at times? This is open. Anybody? Why do you think it's so hard?
I think sometimes you don't really know what you have. You're not exercising it because we read it, we see it in other people, but do we really understand what we really possess?
Don't understand what you have. True. That's one thing. Lonnie?
She said the word exercise. we don't exercise it enough. We got to walk in it. You can't just have it and not walk in it. You have to build upon it. You've got to go and do. If you don't do it, it's not going to work for you. You've got to keep doing it until the point that you get past.
Keep doing it. You keep doing it. You have to do it. You have to exercise it. Even if you don't see anything. I've stepped over people. I haven't seen anything. I've stepped by and I've kept on going.
Yeah, yeah.
So what? You know what? The healing is not up to me. Wow. That's a conflict, huh? Because anytime we put it back on us, what we're doing is we're going into works. Our works, our efforts, it's not up to me. And is it always? You got to remember, it's always God's will. You got to remember your authority. You've got it. When you speak, when you command, things have to change. You have to believe it. I keep hitting my microphone. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. You have to believe it. Why else do you think we don't see those changes, Todd?
Fear and unbelief.
Fear and unbelief. Boy, those are big ones. Yeah, Carol.
We're looking at our flesh and what we're feeling or seeing and not at.
Absolutely. Looking at our flesh, what we're feeling. Boy, you want to look at something, go to the hospital and look at somebody on a bed with about 15 tubes in them and their guts are sliced wide open and they're pumping green stuff out of them. If that disrupts your understanding and application of your authority, then you're not quite solidified in it yet. Okay? Because what you see should not disrupt it. Close your eyes. If you need to shut it out, close your eyes. If you need to close off the smell, breathe through your mouth. If you need to tell the doctors or the person to shut up, just be quiet. Do it graciously. Okay? Stop speaking death and feelings and circumstances and doctor's reports. Stop that. Just let me pray. That's why I don't let people pray when I'm praying for them. I never know what's going to come out of their mouth. In reality, I tell them, agree with me in your heart. That's all. That's all I want you to just agree with me. Agree with my faith. Fully. And let's see a change. Because you're healed. Right? Okay. Now, let's see. Let's do this. How do you know, anybody, how do you know you have authority? Don't give me because the word says so. Give me specific, okay? Give me specific. This is what we have to learn. This has to be specific, not some generality. It has to be specific to us. How do you know? This is what I had to get because I told you that I leapfrogged from Andrew's, the believer's authority, into the whole word and the understanding of what I had. I know what I have. Doris?
Because I'm a born-again, spirit-filled believer.
Okay. You're a born-again, spirit-filled believer. How does that give you authority? This is good. Because, I'm glad you said this.
Because the fact that I am spirit-filled gives me power.
The fact that you're spirit, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Acts 1:8. Good. What else? That's good. I want you to keep thinking about that, okay? Russell?
When you step out and take the action of praying, whether it's for yourself or someone else, and you see the results occurring, then your confidence in your authority starts to develop.
Okay, building confidence through experience of stepping out and believing the word. Your faith grows more. Your expectation grows more. Who else? How do you know? Just one second. Lucy.
The Holy Spirit inside of me
bears witness with the Word of God. So it's communicating with me that, yes, I do have this.
Okay, the Holy Spirit bears witness with the Word in you. What else? Carol?
Well, because we are in Christ, and Christ is in us.
We are in Him, and He's in us.
He has all the power and authority, so therefore I have it.
He has power and authority, therefore I have it. Good? Okay. What else? Gail?
Luke 10:19.
Yep.
Says, "Behold, I have given you
yes.
authority."
Delegated authority.
I believe it. I got it.
That's right. Delegated authority. Jesus said to His disciples. Now, this is before the cross. This is delegated authority. Now, that authority that was delegated lives in us now. But Jesus said, "Behold," or listen up, kids, "I give you the authority to trample serpents and scorpions." Serpents and scorpions always represented the demonic or anything perpetrated by the demonic. Sickness and disease comes out of, really, sin produced or opened the door for sickness and disease. When you trace it all the way back, it always goes back to the devil. Let's just take it all the way back to the garden. That was the open door for sickness and disease and not healing, okay, from any injury, period. So Jesus said, "I give you authority to trample serpents and scorpions," the demonic, "and over all," and all means all of the power of the devil. And that power in the Greek means supernatural power. "And nothing shall by any means hurt or harm you." Period. Now let's just cement this and how you know you have authority. I can't cover all the scriptures because there's a lot of scriptures that have to do with your authority. As Doris was saying, "I'm a spirit-filled, born-again Christian. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation." 2 Corinthians what? What is that? 2 Corinthians 5? 5 what? 17. "If anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away, and all things have become new." That means your identity has changed and you are no longer looking at who you used to be. You're looking at, let's do about face. You're looking at that when you look in the mirror, you may look the same, but you're seeing that new person. And that new person has been endued with power. That new person has the living Jesus inside of them who has given them, 2 Peter 1 verse 3, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. Everything. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, haven't we? Everything. Authority in the kingdom. And remember, we're in a kingdom. This is another part. We're in a kingdom that's far greater than this world and what we see. Aren't we? We have His authority in us. We're His hands and feet. We're the vessels that He uses that touches the world. Okay? Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Never ours, but His. When Jesus, Luke 4, 38 and 39, Jesus went, let's just say this. I always like this one. Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law who had a fever. Oh my gosh, I'm subject to it. Now I got to tell you, you know, when I grew up as a kid, my parents, my mother in particular, bless her, whenever, and I had lots and lots and lots of sicknesses for lots of reasons. I was really always sick all the time. And she trained me in, whenever something came on me, it just, this is her quote, bless her again, "Well, it has to run its course." Some of you heard that. It just has to run its course. That means it's Lord. That means it has control. That means it has, it's the boss. That means it dictates and determines. That means it has a will. That means it tries to impose its will on my body. That it has to. I was trained in that. I had to get untrained. Jesus went to Peter's mother, who was sick with a fever, and said, "Get out of her." He strictly charged. He rebuked the fever. That means he strictly charged. He said, "You, fever, get out." He didn't have to say in Jesus' name. And the fever left, and she got up, and she went and made dinner. "You, fever, get out." In Jesus' name. Now, I've only got 5 minutes. So I want to hear from you. Let me have some examples. And I don't want the prayer team to answer this. I want some examples of how you apply, how you wield your authority and your understanding, or what you know right now you can do. Go ahead and give it to me right now. Come on. Dave.
I told Pastor Sean about this a month ago, but I...
Don't preface it. Just give me what you know.
I had a healing because I was going to the bathroom one day and saw blood. And I said, "I don't accept this condition. And blood, you need to dry up. Whatever's happening inside of me needs to end right here."
Okay.
Take authority of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a voice that spoke to me and said, "I'm taking care of this right now."
Okay.
That point forward, the blood was done.
Is that the first time you've ever exercised your authority?
No.
Good. You told your colon to stop bleeding. And God, the Holy Spirit, confirmed to you. Took care of it. Good. What else? You spoke right to your colon. What else? Just while you're thinking about it, I had a kidney stone. A lot of you know about this. I had a kidney stone. I woke up in the first thing in the morning early, and I mean, I had a bolt upright out of bed. And Rosie and I had just been married. This was 20 years ago. And I said, "We need to go to the hospital now. Right now." Walked into the hospital, and I said, "Give me morphine." This wasn't my first time. And they never could find my vein. And so I sat there and I kept speaking. I just discovered my authority. And I spoke to the kidney stone. And I said, "You stop the pain right now. Stop it in Jesus' name. And I command you to come out of me without pain." Well, the pain stopped. And they sent me home and said, "You're going to have to come in and get this operated on." Nope. I went home and it took about 2 weeks. I felt something rumbling around inside of me. And I thought, I think this thing is coming out. Zero pain. There it was, and it was we saved it. It was a big honking, nasty, spiny, ugly, I mean, razor sharp, nasty, big honking mass. And Jesus is bigger than a kidney stone. Amen. Jesus is bigger than a back injury. Jesus is bigger. You've got to look at things like this. But I told it what to do. Gail.
Did you continue to speak to it for those 2 weeks?
I did not.
Okay.
All I knew is I told it what to do, and I knew I had authority. This is when I began to really grab a hold of it. I knew I had authority over this. Pain stopped. Never came back. Kidney stone came out. Doris?
This past Friday night, I was attending a function, and as I got out of my truck, my leg became so weak and trembly, my right leg, until the person I was with, I didn't know if I was going to be able to help them out of the truck. And I just simply spoke to him nice and easy and told the weakness to go in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. and healing come. And I just proceeded, and before I know it, I didn't even realize when it left. It was just gone.
That was authority.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Knowing that...
I was thinking, too, the scripture that came to me was John what is it, 12 and 14, Jesus said, greater works than these that he did will I do. Because
yep.
he goes to the Father.
You got it.
Often comes back to me.
Good. You got a good word.
Praise God.
You handled it well. That was just exactly right. Let's get some different ones. Anybody else? Come on, I know a number of you have walked in authority.
Well, yesterday I was mowing the lawn, and I sat down to take a break, and I got these canes here, and I just laid my hands on it and told the cane to go, and whatever was causing it to go.
Amen.
And I went out and proceeded to finish the yard.
Praise God.
And somewhere it left.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Automatically told it to go and whatever was causing it.
You took authority over the pain and the cause, the root cause. You did. It did not exert its will over you. You exerted your will and command over it.
Amen.
That's what we have
Amen.
To do. Good. Anybody else? Amen. You only got another minute. Anybody else? Right. David, you got to make it quick.
I just want to say, I also speak Isaiah 55:9-10. I said, when I speak the word over my body, it will not come back void or empty.
That's right. You got a word, okay? You got a word from the word that is a part of anchoring you in your authority. Get a word. Get a word of authority that speaks about authority. You know, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. If you really believe that, you know, if we really believe that, that God was sincere when he said that, man, it would change things.
Right.
It would change how we act and track and behave. And we're out of time, Todd. Sorry. I have to close up on time. My orchestrator of the classes is here today, and I will not go over.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much
Hallelujah.
For this.
Thank
Give us understanding.
Hallelujah.
Help us with the application. Help us do it. To know it and do it. And live in the authority you've given us, Lord. When we speak, knowing that our will and our commands must be obeyed when we speak to sickness and disease and injury. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Who's praying today? Lucy and James. Okay. Who wants to see an exercise of authority? Come on. And nobody wants to see a demonstration? Does anybody want to see a demo?
Yes.
I'm only going to say this one more time. Does anybody want to see a demo of authority?
Yes.
Okay. Get up and gather around. Is there anybody else that needs prayer? Hello? Anybody need authority demonstrated in their body? Anybody? If you want it, you can have it. Why wouldn't you have the miraculous happen right now? Why not? Who wants prayer? Who wants to be the guinea pig?
I do.
Get up here, Doris. Actually, Lucy and James, I want you together to do this. Now, they will work together. They will listen to the Holy Spirit, and they will work together, and they will take authority. And you all can gather right on around here and observe.